Okay. Let's just review so we can define this, right? So the Gemara first presents the opinion of the Chachamim, which is that when you look at the Pasuk, right, the Pasuk says Chalal, so Chalal means not Chanek. Pasuk also says Adama, which means not underneath a pile of stones. Nofel, which means not totally but Ilan. And Basada, not Saf al Panei Mayim. Okay? And Rav Elazar says no. He disputes these drushas. He only agrees with the Chalal one. And then to answer the kasha from the Chachamim, he learns out Chalal from, he does learn an idea of Chalal, but not from that pasuk. The fact that it mentions it multiple times, so you can assume since it mentions it multiple times, that means ultimately that it's Chalal Nachanek. Okay? So how do we approach this machlokas? I mean, this is a tricky way to approach it because we don't want to get caught in the drusha issue. Okay, our job here to define this is not to get caught up in whether or not why Rebbe Lezer, you know, how drushas work and why this, why that drusha. Rather, I think it's more of a general idea insofar as the two approaches you could take to understanding Egla Rufa, or at least what to do with the body. Okay, so what's the machlokas? Why would you say, or let me put it a different way, if I had to ask you, before you start defining it, if I had to ask you, which side makes more sense on the surface? Forget drushas. Okay, forget the drush aspect. Which side makes more sense? What would you say? No, can't be. Agreed. Why?
Because of what his heart is or why he is.
No, but same. But on the surface, you should go with Rebbe Lazar because why would you limit it? What do I care if I come across a body covered by stones or floating on the water? At the end of the day, this is a body that was a person was murdered, and we don't know who did it. So what's the difference if it's Gal, you know, underneath the Gal Evan or whatever? Who cares? At the end of the day, it should be any time I come across a murdered corpse, that should be the Mechayev, right? The Mechayev of Egla Rufa should emerge. Ki Matzei Chalal. Okay, so then how would Rav Elazar answer the Gemara, the Chachamim's position? The Gemara is giving us examples. Like, what's the common case? Ba'adama, Nofels, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Right? But at the end of the day, why would the Chachamim want to restrict this? Okay, that to me would be the, you see how I'm asking that question? In other words, I'm avoiding the drusha aspect. What I'm saying is that what's pushing the Chachamim to want to restrict the case of Egla Rufa, whereas according to the Rav Elazar, he's wanting a little more expansive, more opportunities of Egla Rufa. This is an important point to emphasize. Remember, the counter Rav Elazar is going to be basing it on, or the issue the Chachamim is going to have is, If the body's floating on the water, okay, what's the assumption?
Most likely murder.
No, it's murder. That's for sure. What? Right. I mean, the body was moved. And all, what they should, you're going to have to take some step here. And the assumption, I didn't make this up. This comes from the Rishonim, but the assumption you have to make is that what's the issue here? The body's not where it was. There's a suspicion that the body's not where it was. If it's covered in stones, you know what happened? I killed them on the road. I dragged the body off the road and tried to, you know, hide the evidence. Right. So in all these cases, the body was moved, okay? That's the opening to understand the machlokas. Bluth. I'm going to word it a little bit differently, but it's basically the same idea, okay? Same idea. So, okay. In other words, when we come across this dead body, all right? So the fact is that, let's take the Chachamim first, right? So the fact is that, what's the situation of Egla Rufa? We have a, what do you call it? We have a murdered body, okay? And we're not sure who murdered him, where the murder, how it came about, et cetera. All the circumstances involving this murder are ambiguous. They're ambiguous, okay? But what we have to know for sure is, it's interesting, according to Chachamim, in order to initiate Egla Rufa, what must we know to initiate it? What's the one piece of information we have to know? The makom, meaning where the crime took place is what creates the mechayev Egla Rufa. We have to say it took place here. Otherwise, like Clara was saying, you won't be able to do an accurate medida. Medida must come about because I know this is where the murder took place. But if I don't know where the murder took place, you can't add that ambiguity into this very ambiguous situation. So if I don't know where the murder took place, so then I can't do a medida. So that's the psul, okay? Or, let me just finish, but Rav Elazar disagrees, okay? This goes to, I think, what Yudi was saying by the murder scene. What I would say is that, I would put it a little differently. According to, think about this, we can put a very 21st century view on this. Okay, let's say Sean murders Yudi. Okay, now I'd ask you, it's true that Yudi's dead, right? But when does the murder officially end? Well, now, I don't mean murder the Misa, but rather the crime.
When the killer leaves the scene.
Right. No, well, okay.
That's part of, like,
right.
the, as
wherever he leaves the body and then leaves the scene.
Right. That's part of the crime, right. So to speak. Like, in other words, it's true you did the mice already, but you would say the crime is ongoing until you finally bury the guy, whatever you do to him, move him to the water, whatever it is, and then leave the scene, right? At that point, I'd say, now the murder's over. So that's really the machlokas. The machlokas is that, Rav Elazar would agree with the Chachamim, you want a precise medida. The question comes down to is that, this is, to me, to put it in the most precise way, is when does the murder, so to speak, or the crime come to an end? Is it simply through the death of the guy? Now the Chachamim's problem is that since the body could have been moved, now we don't know how Medina is going to work, right? We've added a layer of ambiguity that we can't tolerate. Or do we say no? Do we say until the body is disposed of, right, that's when the crime comes to an end? So it's when Sean finishes burying Yudi underneath that pile of rocks and then leaves the scene of the crime, now you could say, it's come to an end, and now we have a definitive makom. The murder took place here. Not the Misa, but the completion of the crime. All right, who's reading today? There's not a lot to read, but who's reading? Yudi, go ahead. Great. Nimsa samach l'sfar l'ir shruva de chachavim.
Nimsa samach l'sfar l'ir shruva goyim.
The matzui. Not a lot of information here, right? Now, okay. Now, what does matzui here mean? You guys are all asking me what matzui means. What?
Thanks,
meaning, what's the idea? The idea is that when it comes to, you can't, Egla Rufa doesn't work if the body's found near an area where normally you come across murdered corpses, because what do non-Jews usually do? No. They're the killers. Okay. Meaning, right.
That's a big generalization.
Agreed. Yeah. I know. But the point is that since the body was found near a makom goyim, so what we say is that we assume that they're the ones responsible for the murder. Because matzui here means tadir, right? Tadir. It's normal come across dead bodies outside of the borders of the city, by non-Jewish city. That's normal. Not so much by Jewish cities.
I'll read it. You want me to read? I just read.
Nechlu Rishonim. Ha'arim. Ha'arim, the cities. Okay, so we're going to be briefly touching on Rove, not getting into it yet. Tomorrow we're going to actually start getting into Rove and Karov. But right now, briefly touching on Rove, what's the machlokas? So let's say most of the cities surrounding the corpse are Jewish. So picture in your mind, make it simple, the corpse is in the middle, and imagine like a tire or a circle around it, right? And spokes coming out, right, as measuring to each city. So you have Jewish city, Jewish city, Jewish city, Jewish city, Jewish city. Keep going. Right, and as well as what's the halacha, where you have around the halal also a city that's that you wouldn't bring an egla rufa because it's made up of goyim. Klomar. Don't worry about that for now. Equidistance. Yeah. Klomar. Look at the parentheses. Sharuba goyim. Right. So is it that the majority are non-Jews, or is it that there is a city that has non-Jews in it? Okay, so 1 second. So look at how it plays out. Das Tosos Arid. Okay, what does that mean? You bring Egla Rufa based on Rove. Rove is what's Koveya Egla Rufa. Now, you'll see what we mean by Rove later. But literally, Rove means a majority. Rove is what dictates the chiyuv of egla rufa. Kolomar.
Kolomar. In rov ha'arin, the spivat ha'chalal, king shal Yisrael, as in the egla.
Okay, good. So using our circle, let's say surrounding the city, let's say I have, surrounding the corpse, let's say I have, again, looking in a circle, let's say I have Yerushalayim, Modi'in, Chashmonaim, the Vatican, okay? Nice. It's created a nice extreme, okay? So now, three of the cities are Jewish. One of them is non-Jewish. So what do we say? We go by Rove. And because of Rove, what are we going to do? We measure now from the corpse to one of those three, to those three Jewish cities to figure out where the body, where the murder, where the murderer came from. And who's Chai to bring Agla Rufa? Yeah.
So, Modi in...
Uvimikrazeh. Right. So we only measure to the Jewish cities, and we don't consider measuring to the non-Jewish city. Why? Shekanim nimdol the irzu, right? Because if we did measure to the non-Jewish city, then the din would be is you don't bring an egla at all. For instance, let's say the non-Jewish city is closer. All right. If we measure to the non-Jewish city, what's the halacha now? So we ignore it. No. Let's say so. But since Rome of the cities are Jewish, we don't even take into account measuring to the non-Jewish city, even if it could have been closer. What? Yes and no. Ach medin rov anu mechayim lahavi. Because of rov, that's why we have to bring the egla rufa. The im rov, keep going. Achain arigayim. So let's say 9 of the 10 cities are not Jewish. They're all Vatican cities, and only one of them is Jewish. Even if the Jewish one's a hair closer, at the end of the day, Aze Eimavim Egla. Okay. Because you have to remember something. Don't get confused by this. Remember, they're going to measure. Now, they don't say, okay, well, it's not like they don't have an idea ahead of time of which cities are kind of nearby. They know ahead of time. They just got to get a precise medida. But it's not like they sit there and say, okay, well, we don't know if any cities are near here. And they start literally taking their tape measure out, if they use such a thing. They don't, but they, yeah, I know. But let's say they take the tape measure out and just start walking in a circle. They don't do that. First of all, that would take a long time, but they don't do that. They know ahead of time. They have a sense of these are the cities that are around the area. Now we've got to find out which one particularly is closest. Okay, the medida is really there to, more often than not, to halachify or bring to halachic reality what would they already know ahead of time. But let's say you're not sure. You have like an estimate. You know, like this one is about 5 miles away. This one's also about 5 miles away. We won't measure to the non-Jewish city. But if there are majority non-Jewish cities, then we'll know in measuring not, since the majority are non-Jewish cities, there's no mechanism for Egla Rufa to exist. It's a simple idea. No. That's the error. That is the error. As you'll soon see tomorrow, that's the trap. The trap is thinking this is all about probability. If that were the case, then you know what you would say? You would never measure based on the closest city. You'd always measure based on the biggest city. It's how does Rov work? If I have two pieces of kosher meat and one piece of treif, what happens to that third piece of meat?
We start playing games with it.
No, we don't play. Those aren't games. Or let's say bittel, okay? Let's say like how bittel works, okay? Say bittel. No, you'll see this case of rove. Let's say the case of rove. The classic case of rove, which we're going to take up tomorrow. Classic case is that there are 10, there are 10 butcher shops, okay? 9 are kosher and 1 is treif, right? And I come across a piece of meat. So what do I, and I have a piece of meat. What do I say? It's a piece of meat. I'm not sure. In fact, there's a...
It came from the kosher butcher shop.
Okay, why? Why do we say that? Why do we say? But what happens to the meat? I know, but what happens to the status of the meat that I'm eating? I don't. Do I say? Do I say the meat that I have is possibly treif and possibly kosher, or do I say no? That what does halacha say? What does halacha say? Good. So, is there any reality of treif in this meat? No, halachically. Same thing by the cities. That's how Rove works. We're not saying that once I say the majority of cities are Jewish, it's irrelevant. Now what's the Mishnah's case then? Umash Amar HaMishnah, She'ein Orfim Egla Ala Chalal Nimtza Samach Le'er She'ish Bagayim. What's the Mishnah's case talking about? Right? Zeh Mikra. Right, now you have no idea why this is the case. You don't know this yet. You don't understand why it has to be between the mountains. We'll take that up tomorrow or the next day. You'll see why mountains are a big issue here. But for now, ignore that part, okay? Now, Acha Meiri Kasav, look at the Meiri says. Okay, so the first way he learns the Mishnah is what? Is that you find it next to the border, right? And there, which is a city of non-Jews, okay? And there's no Jewish city between the Chalal and the border, right? So let's say we're, you know, like on the Highway 90, like we've driven there before, when you go to the Dead Sea, okay? So let's say we're there, okay? And there's no Jewish city between the corpse and the border, which is where a non-Jewish city is.
Not necessarily between that, but any
set amount. Or,
the
Irshi Eshba That's the easier case, or it's near a non-Jewish city that's in the borders of Israel. Let's say Bethlehem, okay? Ain. No Medida takes place. Why? Afapi. Even though, if I looked at some of the other cities, right? There's definitely a lot of Jewish cities there, and Mr. Probability, most probably the killer came from one of those Jewish cities. Nonetheless, Shechazaka Goyim Hargu. The Chazaka is the non-Jews killed him. Umashma Midvarav, we'll keep going. Umashma Midvarav, he's saying Rome doesn't work. He's saying if I draw that circle and there's any non-Jewish city near the corpse, no Egla Rufa. Mashma Midvarav, she's an orphan. But Afim Ir. Midvarav. Right. So even if the Ir Goyim, right? Right. Okay. So what's this ma? So no. That's we'll take that tomorrow. But for now, we'll get that tomorrow. What's this machlokas? Right. This is a very difficult machlokas. Right. The Tosas Arid says we deploy Rov. Right, which if you're a halachic person, is very appealing. Right, whereas if I have nine non-Jewish cities and one Jewish city, you're Mr. Probability, Rove. Right, but not according to the Meiri. He says the very fact that I have, but if I have one non-Jewish city and a million Jewish cities surrounding the challah, and all the probability points towards the Jewish, because non-Jew again, Tosfos Arid says deploy Rove. Rov of cities, right? So as long as the majority of the cities are Jewish, we do Egla Rufa. If the majority are non-Jewish, we don't do Egla Rufa, right? That sounds very intuitive. But the Miri says, no. And the Miri is the easier way of reading the Mishnah, for sure. But the Miri is saying the presence of a non-Jewish city in that diameter, in that circle I draw, means no need for Egla Rufa. There's a chazaka, the circle around the corpse. What? Who cares? 5 miles. Doesn't matter. What? Bluth is so confident, right? I want to know, why is the Meiri so quick to abandon Rov? Rov is a general principle we always use. We always use Rov. This is not Rov. He can use the word Chazaka. That's very nice. I'm trying to frame the question as follows. The question is, why does the Meiri abandon Rov? Okay? He should stick with Rov. Tosfos Arid, he is. You know what? We don't have to answer Tosfos Arid. We can push it to the side and wait until we know more about Rov, how it works. I just want to know why the Meiri would go with this idea of if 99 cities are Jewish and one is non-Jewish, that's a problem. Why? What is it about Egla Arufa, about this phenomenon, that the Meiri is saying, I'm going to ditch Rov and rely on something like Chazaka? There's another aspect of Egla Arufa that exists that we haven't touched upon, but I think the Meiri is sensitive to it. Yeah. Well, you saw it in the Pesukim. How did I describe? I described Egla Rufa as what? So what I'm trying to say is, why would we abandon Rove here? Why would we tolerate? Because I'll tell you why. I'll give a possibility. Because remember, Egla Rufa is extrajudicial, right? Now, let's understand, there's two things taking place with Egla Rufa. There's the legal end, right? The normative legal end, Dayanim, etc. What's the other thing that's happening with Egla Rufa?
Kapara.
Which means that we want to be 100% certain that this is something that was committed by Jews, by Bnei Yisrael. Because this is an event that we're saying they require a metaphysical forgiveness for. This isn't simply trying to figure out who murdered who. This is producing a kapara. So maybe the Meiri is willing to abandon normative probability of Rov, because he's going to say, in order to bring in kapara into the picture, then the standards change. The standards of Rov change when we're dealing with Kapara. Because we're not talking about whether someone's guilty or innocent, meaning legally. We're talking about, for lack of a better term, spiritually, is this person guilty or innocent? We're talking about metaphysical judgments. That we have to be, so to speak, darn sure that the murderer came from the Jews. So if there's a non-Jewish city there, be looking at it. Look at it purely halachic way. Tosfos HaRit is 100% right. As a halachic institution, we apply Rov. Why should Egla Rufa be different? But the fact is, there is a difference with Egla Rufa. It's not just a legal thing. It's also a process of kapara.